Today on the Pure Sweat Basketball Show,
a coach's job is to make sure that everybody is doing exactly what they're supposed to do.
Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym.
Let's eliminate the will to win and think about the will to prepare to win.
That's how winning is done.
It's about being a great teammate. It's about being accountable to one another. It's about being tough. It's about doing the right things for each other, but it's about doing it every day.
Hi, this is Jay Billis of ESPN. You're listening to the Pure Sweat Basketball Show. I'm sweating already.
Thank you for listening to the show that is truly committed to coach and player development by making every episode a micro clinic. I'm your host, Alan Stein. Today's show is brought to you by Dr. Dish, the only shooting machine we recommend at Pure Sweat. In today's episode, Drew shares his biggest takeaways from watching NBA practices and games this season. But before we jump in, did you know that out of all of the factors that determine the outcome of a game, turnovers are the most influential? Thanks to our friends at Crossover for making film sessions easy and efficient by cutting and organizing your plays for you. You can quickly and easily share clipped film with everyone in your program on any mobile device. Visit crossoverwithak.com/puresweat to try a game for free and let them help you be more productive in the film room and win more games. All right, let's dive into today's topic. Drew, one of the coolest parts about your job is that you get to travel everywhere during the season. I mean, you've got dozens of guys that you work with individually in the NBA, all of which play for different NBA organizations, and you spend a couple days at each one of those spots every single month during the season. So I can only imagine when you get to watch practices and you get to be a part of watching pregame warmups and things that most of us aren't privy to. I bet you've seen and learned some really cool things. I'd love to hear some of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best part of my job, honestly. Besides working with the players and being able to be a small kind of part of these guys' success, the guys that I work with, just the learning aspect. You know, one of the reasons why I haven't ever accepted a job when NBA teams offer me a job for player development is because I get to be in so many different locker rooms, get to steal from so many great basketball minds, so many great coaches, a lot of whom have been around basketball and been coaching in the NBA longer than I've even been alive. And so I get to steal so much, and that's what, in my opinion, great teachers do is they just steal from other great teachers and eventually form, you know, kind of this big database of information that they can chew up and spit out little tidbits here and there that can help players get better. And so some of the things I've learned, one of the things that I loved from Coach Popovich of the Spurs, I asked him for three things. I said, you know, the first time I ever talked to him, I said, give me three things that I can really take, and then I won't ask you anything else about basketball, because he likes talking, but he doesn't like talking basketball unless he's, you know, in practice and stuff like that, from my experience with him. And one of the things that he told me, he said, Drew, I've only learned one thing in my time coaching. And I started chuckling, and so did the assistant coaches that were around, because obviously, you know, one of the greatest coaches in NBA history says he's only learned one thing. And he said, my job as a coach is to not mess it up. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, it starts from the front office all the way down to the players. He goes, you know, from the front office, my job's to not let the front office draft the wrong guy. I don't want them to draft a cancer that's going to mess up our locker room, because that's messing it up. I don't want them to draft a non-shooter, because that's messing up our spacing. That might mess up our team chemistry. That might mess up our team offense. I don't want to draft a guy that's too cool to do the little things, because that's going to mess up our culture. I don't want them to draft a guy that, you know, thinks he's bigger than the team, because that's going to mess up our locker room. I don't want, you know, our coaching staff to let players, you know, have bad practices, because that's going to mess it up. I don't want our coaching staff to, you know, not properly scout a team, because that's going to mess it up. I don't want our coaching staff to let players kind of BS workouts, because that's going to mess it up. I don't want myself to go in the game unprepared, because that's going to mess it up. I don't want to let an ego, you know, get in the way of our team's, you know, chemistry or camaraderie. That's going to mess it up. And he went in, and when he started going through detail, I realized that that pretty much sum up what a coach's job is to not mess it up, is to make sure that everybody's doing their role, whether that's players doing their role, whether it's assistant coaches doing their role, whether that's managers doing their roles, whether that's, you know, if you're a, college recruiting doing your role, or whether you're in the NBA and that's a front office doing your role. But a coach's job is to make sure that everybody is doing exactly what they're supposed to do. And if you start letting individuals slip up in their roles, then ultimately the team is going to slip up, and ultimately that's going to hurt the team in the long run. And so that kind of went back to Pop's brilliance, is that he, you know, to use my word again, dumbified everything that he's learned into what he's supposed to be doing, and that's just making holding everybody accountable for doing exactly what they're supposed to do. And he thinks that if he makes sure that everybody does that, that the team is going to find success, because you know, he's put everybody in a position to make sure that the team's going to find success if they do their role.
They say simplicity is the new genius, and I absolutely love that. You're talking about arguably the best, if not one of two best coaches in NBA history, breaks it down to one phrase that you could put on Twitter as to what he's learned as a coach. That is absolutely genius.
Another thing that the Spurs said, and it wasn't directly from Pop, but he said that, you know, one of the old school sayings that Alabama football fans used to say about Bear Bryant was, he can win with his and he can win with yours. And they said, that's not true. You know what I mean? And basically, Alabama football fans love their football so much that they believe that, you know, Paul Bear Bryant was so good at coaching that he could win with Alabama's talented team, but he could also win with the least talented team because he was that good of a coach. And the great coaches realized that's not true. Obviously, that was fans that idolized Paul Bear Bryant, but the truth of the matter is, a coach needs good players, a coach needs good assistant coaches, a coach needs, you know, good talent, a coach needs good people that are helping him build the talent. There's so many pieces, and your job as a coach is to make sure that all the pieces are doing their role so that ultimately your team can succeed.
What are some of the other things you've seen on your journeys? Maybe some things you've watched during pregame warmups, or some other things that you've seen being a fly on the wall during NBA practices?
I think the number one thing that I've seen in NBA that's different than high school is player-led. I think that if you look at the veteran teams in the NBA and the teams that win the most games, their players lead a lot. Their head coaches don't do the majority of the coaching. They basically put them into drills, and then they let them go through them, and they kind of all figure it out as a collective unit. So I think there's a lot more collectiveness between the players and coaches, and they're trying to figure it out together at the upper level. Again, we're talking about the veteran teams. And I think that even in the lower, you know, the younger teams in the NBA, there's definitely a lot more coaching going on where the coach has more authority. And then obviously in college, coach has tons of authority. In high school, coach has tons of authority. But I think that as you become a special team or a vet team, and whether that means you're junior and senior led in high school or college, or whether that means you're 8-9 year, you know, pros that have been around the thing a long time, I think the special teams are player led, where players are the ones that are contributing to the game plan, and ultimately they feel part of it. And if they feel a part of it, they're going to buy into it more, and you're going to get better results from it. So that's the number one thing I would take away from NBA practices that's different, is there's a lot more openness. There's a lot more communication between players and coaches. There's a lot more honesty, believe it or not. I mean, before the game, most NBA coaches script out exactly how many minutes and when they're going to sub guys before the game, up until maybe the fourth quarter. Obviously, and there's different things, foul trouble or how a game's going, they can change up. But most coaches have what most teams call a blue sheet, where they basically have every player's minutes outlined before the game, and players know when they're coming in and out of games. There's just so much more understanding and so much more communication. And ultimately what it does is it allows for players to understand their role way more than they would at a high school level. So that's number one. And number two is practices are way more driven by what happens in games most. Meaning NBA practices, there's not many drills. There might be a drill or two just to start out practice to get them loose or to get them talking. But after they're loose, everything that happens during an NBA practice is directly game-oriented. Meaning they're going to spend a lot of time guarding actions. They're going to guard ball screens because they happen all game long. They're going to guard pin downs. They're going to guard DHOs. They're going to work on traps and rotation out of traps if they're playing against a big guy that's really dominant in the low post. They're going to work on containing, you know, elbow touches for guys that are really good in the pinch post. And then they get tons of game shots. So everything that happens in practice is game oriented, and it's based on the frequency that occurs in game. So they're going to spend more time guarding ball screens than they are in transition just because ball screens happen all the time in transition, they can systematically get a couple guys back, but ball screens happen 70 times a game, 65, 80 times a game, depending on the team. And so they need to be really good at those actions. So everything is super game-like, which I love, obviously, because I'm a big fan of purposeful work. But those are the two big takeaways that I would say the differences between NBA practices and high school and college practices.
What would you say, I know it will differ from organization to organization, but what would you say is the average length of an in-season NBA practice?
It really depends on the age of the team and also how well the team's doing. I know that a lot of teams that have been around the playoffs multiple years in a row and have veteran guys, there's so many games in the NBA that sometimes they don't even practice. They might just do a little walkthrough, or they might do a little shoot around, or some teams don't practice at all during the midseason and just let their guys kind of do their own thing, whether that's what the Spurs and the Hawks do, which is called daily vitamins, where guys get individual workouts that they work on the stuff that they need to be able to do in games, whether that's get their game shots up, whether that's, guard different actions. I would say the majority of the NBA practices 2 to 3 times a week, because they also play 2 to 3 times a week. And those practices vary in length depending on how well the team's doing and how old they are. A team that's very young and maybe is struggling, they might practice an hour and a half and they might get after it. They might really work on defensive systems. They might get up and down to build competitiveness, and they might, stick around afterwards for individual improvement, because they might not have their players might be younger and still growing into their roles. Whereas veterans like the Cavaliers or the Spurs, those teams are just making sure that they're well rested so that they can be at their best when they need to be at their best, which is when the playoffs come around.
Well, that's it for us, folks. We really appreciate you listening. I hope we helped you raise your game. We want to thank our partners at Dr. Dish for elevating basketball training with their innovative shooting machines and detailed training analytics. Check out drdishbasketball.com for more. And make sure you join the conversation at Pure Sweat on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. All right, let's get back in the gym.